This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. This is Sherry Medlock, America's missionary messenger. And America, get your King James Bibles, gather around. It's America's family hour of worship. The best way to worship our Father is to listen to His voice. And He wrote His voice in a love letter, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. We're currently studying the end time prophetic book of Psalms. But today is a very special day. This is the day that all Christendom, all over this planet, get together and celebrate the resurrection of the Passover lamb. So we're going to take a field trip. So please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. Now you need to know this about Psalm 22. Now listen carefully. It was written 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross. Holy Spirit dictated it to David, who was a prophet, Acts 2, and he wrote it as he saw it and as he heard it. And remember that God has a book, and he writes his plans in a book, that's the Bible. And in the right appointed time, those words that are written down come to pass. So 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross, it was written. And so when it actually happened, Jesus was teaching Psalm 22 from the cross. Teaching from the cross. Jesus was orchestrating the entire crucifixion from the cross. We're going to find that out tonight. You know how it says the Word was made flesh. We know the Word was God, which is Jesus, and became flesh. Well, the Word written down 1,000 years ago, verse by verse, line by line, Jesus spoke it out, called it out, and it happened to him. So I want you to keep that in mind, 1,000 years before the fact. Now, just before we begin, I want to cultivate the soul of your spirit so that I can plant this pearl into you. I want everybody in the sound of my voice, cyberspace, media, tapes, live, to memorize 1 Corinthians 5:7. Will you say that, please? 1 Corinthians 5:7. Christ our Passover is sacrifice for us. Please say that. Christ our Passover is sacrifice for us. We know that Christ means the anointed one and means the Messiah, so we know that's Jesus. We know that John says Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We know that on the cross, Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. So it says Christ is our Passover and he was sacrificed for us. Now, the whole world is calling today Easter, so let's talk about Easter a moment. In the Bible, Easter is only there one time, and it's in English. God's Word is perfect, but it was not written in English. In Acts chapter 12, verse 4, you'll find the word Easter one time. It is a blatant mistake. I don't mean just an error. I mean a lie, because in the Greek there it reads Paschal or Passover. So keep that in mind. Well, then what is Easter? If you go to a good dictionary, if they've got one of those left that's not all changed up like most of the Bible is, you'll find that Easter is a time in April when people gather together to celebrate a goddess of fertility. Her name is Ishtar. They went into the woods and laid eggs, sexual orgies, fertility eggs, in the grass quick like a bunny. You say, well, how did that ever get into the Christian church on such a high and holy day when we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Here's how. Some people tend to think that where the crowd is, that's where you want to go. There's a gathering place of Megiddo, the gathering place of the crowd coming up Armageddon. I'm not going there. You show me a crowd, I don't go there because I know the barked fig trees in that. I know the splinters. Because Jesus says, wide and broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that go there find it. Narrow is the way that leads into eternal life, and few there be that find the majority is not right. But the church leaders wanted to grow their congregations because, you see, when the congregation goes and when you do it for money, the basket gets filled up more. So never lower the bar. The church has lowered the bar in the Word. We've taken out all of the Word and put one little verse in here. We've ruined the music. We no longer sing the Bible through the songs. We got the ballroom beat in that. We've lowered everything. We never lower the bar. So what is Passover? For homework, I want you to read Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 26. Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 26. The children of Israel were in slavery, in bondage, in Egypt. Egypt always means in bondage. Mankind is in bondage to sin. We're slaves to sin, and the wages of sin is death. So in Exodus, God told Moses, tell the elders of each of the tribes and the families to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, and kill the Passover. Take the blood of this perfect lamb and put it in a basin. Take a piece of hyssop and dip it in the blood and put it on the lintel and the side post. That makes the sign of a cross. Hebrew is tav. Okay, the blood and the sign of the cross is on the door. And God said tonight the death angel's going on. And when death sees the blood and on the cross, death will pass over you. And when you stand before God, if the blood has covered your sins, eternal death will pass over you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The other thing God told Moses, tell the people to observe this forever and ever until I come. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, Passover is not just a word for our beloved brother Judah. Passover is the word for Christians. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Our Passover lamb was slain. He shed his blood. He died. He arose. Christ, our Passover. Praise the Lord. He redeemed us. Now, why do we need redemption? I'm cultivating your soul before we begin this teaching. Why do we need redemption? S-I-N, because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Listen, my dear friends, sin began long before the man Adam, Eph-Ha-Adam, and Eve got in trouble there in the garden with Satan. Peter tells us of the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, chapter 10, the first earth age. World means age. Isaiah 14 says in that age that every soul that has ever lived was there. We were called jewels. We're in a spiritual body. We're all the same age, all created at the same time. No sin without Father. But this anointed cherub called Lucifer, Isaiah 14, decided he would be God. And he brought sin into the equation, because that's treason. One third of all of God's children followed him without a blink. The other third there sat there like a knot on a log. You couldn't get them to say amen if you had to. You would have to pick them up and make them shout. They do no good. They just, you know, put their finger up there in the wind and see which is blowing. But there was one third that fought for God. Well, those first two thirds, that was the wages of sin is death. Right then, Jesus said, I will be the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the earth. Because God the Father had just said, let us make man in our image. He was talking to us, Elohim and the angels, and talking to himself. I will make you a flesh body to come through this earth, second earth age, one time to make your decision for Jesus or for the devil. And God will not ask you to do anything he will not do. He made himself a body. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written to me over and over and over, Jesus said. So here we have it. And he came to pay the sin debt. And now, Jesus teaching from the cross to pay the sin debt. Jesus orchestrating the whole crucifixion.
Psalm 22, to the chief musician upon Ajalath Shehar.
Now, to the chief musician means to him who hath the victory. Now, you say, well, it doesn't look like victory to me to be up there dying on a cross. Now, wait just a minute. When God assigns you to do something, and you accomplish what he's assigned you to do, even if you're killed in the process, you've been victorious. All people of God get hurt, but we're successful because one day we're going to stand before God. He's going to say, well done.
Amen.
Jesus came to die. So for him to win and be the victory, he's going to have to see this through. Beautiful Hebrew word, Ajalath Shehar. Want to speak Hebrew? Ajalath. Shehar. Shehar. Is your good name for one of your children, Shehar. It means the dawning of a new day. It was a new day when Jesus washed our sins away. And it means there shall be an eternal, endless day because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Psalm of David, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? From the words of my roaring.
Now, this is what we call an acrostic in the Psalms. There's something hidden here for God's elect. There are three red lights glaring, blinking, blinking. Pay attention, Selah, stop, think, listen about these. The first one is this, listen carefully. It's written in Aramaic, and all other 30 verses are written in Hebrew. Jesus, in the natural, was Hebrew, and he spoke Hebrew. When you're in great distress, you don't go try to speak another language. You speak your native language. When David saw this in a vision 1,000 years early, David speaks Hebrew. So understand, I'll come back to the Aramaic. It's out of Jesus' character when all the other verses are in Hebrew and Jesus is Hebrew. The second red light is God. Jesus never called God, God. Even from the time he was 12 years old, he disappeared from the family, and Mary and Joseph found him there, you know, astounding the doctors of the law. And Mary kind of chided him with that. He said, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business, my Father's house? And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And John the Apostle said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these three are one. Now, I want everybody to answer me this question. How many gods are there?
One.
Hebrew, beautiful. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Now, there is a man listening to me who is a husband, he is a father, and he is an employee. When you are working on your job, you're still a husband and you're still a father. When you take your child to Disney World, you're still a husband and you're still an employee. When you're taking your wife to a romantic dinner, you're still a father and you're still an employee. Can't get away from yourself. These three are one. Now, we're going to find out tonight. This same chapter is going to prove to you in English. I'll tell you when the verse comes up. That God the Father never forsook God the Son. It'll say it in plain English. I'll explain it. I'll tell you. And that he never even turned his back on him. And you see, you should enjoy. That would have been a jump. That would have been a jump up time. Because you see, if God forsook the Son, he might forsake you. Now, why was Jesus speaking in Aramaic? Jesus says you have to be wiser than serpents and harmless as dove. When you serve God, sometimes because the enemy is slithering all around, you have to use covert activity. There is a very wise military strategy that says when you're surrounded by the enemy, make them think they've got you. In other words, play dead. We see people who survive these mass shootings. We've heard them on television. They say, somebody came in there and shot up all these people, and I just fell on the floor and played dead. And the Holy Spirit gave me the cutest example to tell you, and I made sure that he was okay with this. We remember Aesop's fables, Brer Rabbit. No Easter Rabbit, but Brer Rabbit had been captured by the bad guys. The bad guys were saying, we could do this to him, we could do that to him. They said, I know what we could do. We could throw him in the briar patch. Boy, that would get him. Brer Rabbit's ears plucked up there because, see, his habitat's the briar patch. That would be great. So he did what Jesus did. He was wiser than a serpent and harmless as a dove. He said, oh, please don't throw me in that briar patch. So, see, he had the enemy eating out of his hand. Now let me explain something, and this will come up. I'll explain it when it comes up. Jesus has to stay on the cross 6 hours. In spiritual numeric, 6 is the number of depraved mankind. If he died before, or if they took him off the cross, somebody would be left out. It had to be whosoever will may come. Also, we're going to find tonight that while all of these dumb devil stooges around there gaping and laughing and mocking at him and watching the blood show, Jesus has got a great masterpiece of a work of spiritual art, and I'm going to share that with you tonight. So see, you just, it's kind of like you got your children and you've got to go over there and study your Bible. So you turn on a cartoon and the cartoon's going and the cartoon's going and that babysits your children, but you're over here doing a greater work studying God's word. Do you understand? Okay, well, come back to it. This chapter will prove that God the Father never forsook the Son. That is shouting material.
Verse 2. Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night seasons, and am not silent.
Now, Isaiah says we did esteem. It looks like he's smitten. It looks like he's forsaken. Remember, this is the covert activity.
3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Now, Jesus does a beautiful thing right there to give those of us who got eyes open a clue. It says God inhabits the praises of his people. Jesus is praising the Father. To whom is he talking? Okay? He's not talking to a dog. Thou art holy. When you praise God in your crucifixion, God's presence appears. So right there, while he just cried out in Arabic, he was saying, go read Psalm 22, you'll see I'm the suffering Messiah. It just looks like I've been forsaken. He was saying God was right there. Now that's clue number one, but it's going to get better.
4. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. 5. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded.
Jesus remembers all the times that God had delivered the children of Israel in dire circumstances. The next time you're hanging off the cliff with a broken shoestring and the alligator's about to get you. Remember those other times God came through. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He saved you then, he'll save you again.
6. But I am a worm.
Well, Jesus looks down at his body. The blood is there. He knows the blood is necessary because the life is in the blood. Now, the worm is an important word. They made scarlet red dye from a worm that's called a crimson worm. That's why he said worm. Jesus says, I look like I've been dipped in scarlet red dye, which comes from a crimson worm. That's what he was saying. Now remember, he's orchestrating his crucifixion, so the blood has to keep covering and pouring. The Word is becoming flesh. He is the author, he's the director, and he's the star.
And no man.
I don't even look like a man. Isaiah says that you couldn't even tell a shape or a form. It could have been a big dog up there. They had beaten him to a pulp. He looked like chopped liver.
Reproach of men and despised of the people.
Yes, the people despised him who were doing this. We're going to find out who they were. But we only esteemed him despised of God. This same chapter is going to prove that he was not despised of the Father.
7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 8. He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him.
And the Gospels say, if he will have him.
Verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Then I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly.
Jesus remembers how he left heaven's glory and is the only begotten, the only seed of God the Father, and placed in the embryo of Mary. He sees Mary peering around the corner, crying and sobbing. And he says to his faithful apostle John, John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. Even in the time of greatest pain, he could feel the pain of others. Now that's a great noble character. Most people, when you're in trouble, all you see is you. Or let us be bigger and feel the other person's pain.
11. Be not far from me, for trouble.
Now, this is a very important verse. Remember I told you Jesus had spiritual work to do, so he wanted to keep all of these dumb devil worshipers and everything doing their little thing? He's talking to Father. Father, stay close here. There's trouble here. Sin is trouble. See, we had these people in the natural, but Jesus can see into the spirit world. Remember it said he could see the angels? Satan was standing over there saying, ha, 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 I've got him now. I'm going to get to be God. But there were these demonic forces. While there was one, and his name was self-centeredness. There was one, and it was called rebellion. There was one, it was really bad. It says, I see your pain, and I don't care, and I'm not ever going to help you. There was another, it was hate and envy and greed and lukewarmness. Oh, my God, what a sin. So Jesus said, Father, watch. So the Bible says Jesus took sin on himself. And one by one, he said, come here, self-centeredness. Self-centeredness said, and plopped himself on Jesus. Come here, rebellion. Plopped himself on Jesus. One by one, all the sins of the world, they called them out. And they plopped on him. They thought they had him, but he had taken over them. Why did he say, watch God, stay close? Because now when you sin those sins, and you ask forgiveness to God the Father in Jesus' name, God the Father would say, let me see. Yep, I saw my son. He took that one, so you're forgiven.
Near. For there is none to help.
Isaiah says, to smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. When the ship is sinking, all the rats leave. Only the true friends stay when you're in trouble.
12. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan.
Now, these are called magnificent animals. In the Hebrew, they're not animals. What they are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. That's the offspring of Cain, and Cain is a literal child of the magnificent devil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, low down like a snake, right there where he beguiled Eve, wholly seduced her. And he's magnificent. These people were magnificent looking because Cain was magnificent looking. Perhaps you've read the book Sargon the Magnificent. I have that. That was Cain. And the devil was the most magnificent of all because God made him the perfect pattern, Ezekiel 28. Now, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. They were the ones that were speaking in Aramaic. They say they are Judah, Hebrew, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. And so that's why we're speaking that. I want to say the magnificence has diminished down through the generations because death disintegrates.
Set me round. 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion.
And of course he refers to the devil. Your adversary goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's the devil. These Kenites, his children, through Cain, are doing the work of the devil. And he's orchestrating this. If the devil had known that if he killed Jesus, an innocent man, that multitudes of us would have eternal life, he would have stopped right there. He is a dumb devil. You know, you might say God made him the perfect pattern and that he had great wisdom. But he's pretty stupid here because there's some things he didn't know. He thought if he killed Jesus, he would be God, because that was always what he wanted to do. So there he is. He's laughing too. Okay, go over there. Do this. And he had been telling those sins to go and jump on Jesus along with Jesus. Wow, Jesus is playing right into his hands, seemingly. Remember, Br'er Rabbit.
14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint.
Ouch.
My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels.
It broke in two.
15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws.
The Gospels say Jesus said, I thirst. He's very close to becoming dehydrated here.
And thou hast brought me into the dust of death.
Okay, Jesus says it's almost time for me to give up the ghost now, but it's not quite time. He's got to stay there 6 hours. If he doesn't, somebody would be excluded, 6 being the total number of depraved mankind. The dust here means degradation. It's mentioned in Genesis 3:15. It's mentioned in Daniel. It's mentioned in Ezekiel. There is nothing more degrading than for life himself, God Almighty, life, the tree of life, to be reduced to death. And Jesus says it's almost time.
16. For dogs have encompassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me.
The word dogs is the same as the bulls of Bashan. That's the Kenites, seed of Cain, seed of the devil. The assembly is the synagogue of Satan, the assembly. They're all around there doing the devil's work. And remember that they give our brother Judah a bad name.
They pierced my hands and my feet.
In Genesis 3:15, when God was dressing the devil down, who was low down like a serpent, after what he had done to Eve, he said, "Your seed, serpent, the serpent's seed, shall bruise her seed's heels." And that's what was happening there on the cross.
17. I may tell all my bones.
I can count all my bones. Look, I see my shoulder bone. I see my hip bone here. But you know the Bible says not one of his bones were broken. You know why? The bones represent the many-membered body of Christ. Oh, he did all of that so we could be whole, fitly joined together, one accord, no discord. Jesus, Lord, a whole body of Christ. Amen. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
They look and stare upon me. 18, they part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture.
The Bible tells us in the Gospels that the Roman soldiers gambled for his seamless robe. They wanted a memento. Just think, boy, now they have a memento, don't they?
19, but be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength.
Now, in verse 19, Jesus is beginning to feel like he's going to go into a coma. The blood sugar's got to be low. He's dehydrated. His heart's broken, but he's got to stay a little bit longer. Lord, I need a little bit of fresh touch here. Holy Spirit, give me a little air here. Help me here. Now, will God hear him? Jesus just asked the Father for help so he could finish the 6 hours. Let's see what God does. Verse 20 will tell you.
Haste thee to help me.
Now, Jesus is continuing to ask for help, and what he doesn't realize is that God has already started the answer. Before he calls, before we call, he answers. While we are yet speaking, he hears. So while Jesus is saying, "Hurry, Father, I need a breath of fresh air. Come on, Holy Spirit, perk me up so I can live a few more minutes." Now listen to God's answer.
20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog.
Okay. Now, deliver my soul. My soul in the Hebrew is as one. We three are one. Father steps up, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, he says. You know what darling means in the Hebrew? My only begotten. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Holy Spirit, step up to the Son and say, deliver my only begotten from the dog, from the Kenite. So he gave him, he answered. When Jesus cried, God heard. Aren't you glad?
Yes. 21, save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn.
See, Jesus is still you. Have you ever been so like you don't even realize God's answered your prayer? Wow, he heard me, Jesus Christ. Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. There's no such thing as a unicorn. It means ox. It means those bulls of Bashan from their power. He heard me. Yay, yay, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's going to make it. He's down to the finish line. If he makes the 6 hours, we got eternal life.
22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel.
Jesus says, for the joy set before me went to the cross. He begins to look into the third heaven age when everything is cleaned up and perfect again. And those of us who are saved are praising him. Jacob's the 12 tribes of Israel, all will be saved. Israel means whosoever will may come. And he looks forward to that. Now, verse 24 is going to prove to you that God the Father never forsook God the Son. See, that's something you've been taught and we've all been taught. Let's find the truth. Here it is.
24, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
Okay, the first he there is El in the Hebrew. That means God the Father. He did not abhor. He didn't want to turn away. Who is the afflicted one? Jesus. Okay, now remember that it looks like he has, but he hasn't. He just said so. Now listen carefully.
Neither hath he hid his face from him.
If God the Father had hid his face from him, he would have turned his back on him, right? And so, see, you heard it this morning all over the place, the media. He turned his back on him. He couldn't look on sin. Yes, he did. Back up there in another verse, he looked on sin. So when you do that sin, he can check and see if it's on his son. Okay, see? Yes, he did. He did not turn his back from him. Now, listen, here's some more proof. Three times here in this verse.
But when he cried unto him, he heard.
When he, the afflicted, the Son Jesus, cried unto God the Father heard. God the Father did not forsake God the Son. You should shout and do cartwheels, because if he can forsake him, he might forsake you. Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied.
He's talking of the future heaven on earth, the third heaven age. Meek means teachable. Nobody's going to be in that eternity unless you're teachable. See, we're not going to have any people who don't know the Bible then, so better get cracking. We're here. Come and dine.
They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever.
Jesus is so happy. I'm giving you eternal life, people.
27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee.
At the seventh trumpet, when Jesus comes, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation chapter 1.
28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations.
As it says of his government, there shall be no end. King of kings forever, Jesus.
29, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship.
Fat means strong in the word. So see, the word is going to cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. You cannot remain a baby Christian. You won't fit. So you're going to have the strong word. Might as well start now. We offer it here. Come and dine.
All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul.
Jesus refers to the sixth trump, which is coming up very soon, when the Antichrist comes pretending to be Jesus. He's the dusty one. He's the degradation. He's death. And all who bow the knee to him cannot save their souls. You don't want to worship the devil, even though you say you've loved Jesus all your life. There's a fake one coming. He'll look like him, act like him, talk like him. There'll be a big revival in the church. But if you have the meat of the word and know the word, you'll not be deceived.
Verse 30, a seed shall serve him. It shall be counted to the Lord as a generation.
Mark 13, generation, the generation of the fig tree. Jesus says there's one generation that shall not see physical death. We will do the body change, but we shall usher in the second coming. You are it, be you 5 or 105, generation of the fig tree. Jesus was thinking about us. This time we are at the end of the second earth age in the flesh.
31, they shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born.
That was you. Now, your soul was there. You were looking on. I can assure you, everybody was watching this whole thing. But see, declare what? Okay, the word's being declared to you who shall be born. You're born now. Let's see what the word is to you. Let's hear it.
That he hath done this.
This is in italics. When it's in italics, God did not say it. He hath done. This is the word he wants you to hear. It is the equivalent of the Greek in the Gospels. It is finished. While all of these people thought they had him, he did a finished masterpiece, work of art. No greater work of art has ever been done. Matthew 28. On the first day of the week, at the end of the Sabbath, the three Mary ladies came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. You see, they expected him to be dead, but he said, I will arise after 3 days. The word said, I will arise. But they looked at the facts. Always look at the word. They found the stone rolled away and an angel sitting on it. The angel said unto them, fear not. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Duh. Verse 18. Jesus was ready to go back to the Father to sit at the right hand as our high priest ever living to make intercession for us. And he said, all power in heaven is given unto me. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Even to this end of the world age, we're here now. He's right here. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He died. He shed his blood. He arose. He's coming back again. Happy Passover. Praise the Lord.
How great is our Father to give us this revelation word that God the Father did not forsake the Son, that he did not despise his affliction. And when he, the afflicted one, cried, God heard him, and God the Father did not turn his back on him. That is proven in verse 24. You want to memorize that. That is the great good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, next time we'll resume our regular sequence in the great book of Psalms. What a prophetic great book. I want to invite all of you here to come to my school each Sunday 5 p.m. and each Wednesday 6:30 p.m. More word book, one book at a time, chapter, verse, line by line. Prayer for healing, prayer for America, Sundays 5 p.m., Wednesdays 6:30 p.m., Sherry Medlock School, Shari, Cocoa, Florida. The address is 916 Florida Avenue. Now, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes, and so feel free to call me for prayer for healing. We still pray for the sick, and God still does the healing, or prayer for salvation, or prayer for anything. Maybe you'd like to call me and tell me that this lesson today greatly blessed you, and call and tell me so. I know it blessed me, and I love you very much. Now remember that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Yes, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We've just been calling it the wrong word. Yes, Passover, it's our word. Yes, it is. He's our Passover lamb. And remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. The Lord bless and keep you. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Darkest day in history was over. All was lost on the cross. Beaten, battered, bruised beyond description. You gave it all. What went wrong? This couldn't be the end of heaven's story. You came to save, to beat the grave. 3 days and now they're looking for your body. But you were gone, and now I know. You say the day. freed from the shackles of my failure in the dead of night. You shined your light. Your gift of love is hope that springs eternal. And because of you, all things are new. You say you say the day. My hands. So I'm praying, Father, help my heart.